This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here, live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Things happen in life that you never expect. How you deal with them, they always say it defines you, but what if you don't know what to do or how to deal with them? Joining me to give advice on how to deal with uncertainties in life is psychologist Carolyn Alroy. Thanks for joining me, Carolyn.
My pleasure.
You know, for a lot of people, when it comes to uncertainties in life, they don't know how to handle it. What are some ways you think people can handle situations that they know they can't control?
You know, that's a really great question. And I was thinking about it before the interview, and I was thinking about the different circumstances where somebody would feel that their life was out of control. So, you know, I'm thinking it could be life circumstances, natural disaster, parent, spouse, or child becomes ill or dies, you get an illness, get diagnosed, career problems, romantic problems, you know. So there's like a lot of things that can happen. And then there's also this other thing where people come in, like sometimes come into my office, and they have no idea. They know that things are out of control, but they don't know exactly the details. Like, they just know they feel terrible. You know, I think the first step is always to clarify first. So if you can clarify, you know, what is going on? What is happening that things are out of control, if it's possible? If it's not possible, don't worry about it. And the second thing is to clarify, there's always an element where you can control, you have some control, and there's a part where you really can't control. And just sort of be clear on what is this in the situation that I can't control. You know, maybe I send an email and I'm waiting for a response, or I'm waiting to see what happened on a job interview, and that I can't control the other person's reaction to me or their thoughts or their decisions or how they feel about me. But there's usually something you can do. So, you know, you prepare for the interview, you practice, you do the best you can. Then afterwards, you have to find some way to let it go if you're not, once you've done your part.
One of the things my mother loves to tell me is that you have to embrace the things that you can't control. And I've heard that quite a few times, but what is the idea behind embracing things you can't control? Because then it's like, on one side, it's like, wait, how do you embrace it? To me, when I think of can't control, I think of like this cat that you're trying to give it a bath. And it's like, how do you embrace this thing that's trying to scratch your eyes out?
Oh, I wanted to laugh when you said that, because I think people have that idea. It's a great idea. But, you know, I think that when this happens, people have a lot of feelings, you know, that also feel out of control. They might be afraid, especially if it's the unknown. It's a very common reaction. People are afraid. So I think to get to that place where you can say that to yourself and really mean it is always a challenge. I think it's a great idea, but it's sometimes complicated to get there. And it's normal to not know how to get there.
Yeah, I think it's one of those, it's easier said than done kind of things. And for me, when it comes to becoming stressed, I always feel like it's because I'm overwhelmed. How can you kind of figure out what's overwhelming you?
Overwhelm is an offshoot of fear. There's 8 basic feelings. Fear is a big one. It's one that a lot of people experience. And overwhelm, apprehension, and feeling threatened are different offshoots of when you feel afraid. So if you know that you feel overwhelmed, you know, one way is just to sort of start talking about it. It would be nice to talk to somebody you trust. You can talk out loud to yourself, because as you talk, you actually are processing what's happening differently if you say something out loud than when you think it in your head. So I think you have to, you know, some people journal, some people talk it out. You have to sort of, and sometimes it's just really hard to figure out. I mean, I've had clients and patients who, it took us months to figure it out, what was overwhelming them. It was really hidden and sort of tamped down. But, you know, usually it's easier. Usually if you kind of sometimes meditate, relax yourself, do some deep breathing, you know, do a couple of mantras, and just try to sort of calm down about it. Sometimes you can think more clearly and identify the source.
You said that feeling overwhelmed is an offshoot of fear. What did you mean by that?
Well, it's a way of feeling afraid. Like when people are overwhelmed, it's fear. Fear is involved.
So let's say if you're anxious about something, like, you know, you didn't, or you studied for your test, but you know, the test is sitting right in front of you and you're just all anxious and nervous. Would that then be a fear as well?
So I have a unique perspective on anxiety, and I deal a lot with anxiety. And I think that people who are anxious are in a constant state of fear. And I feel like it's more helpful, like when you say anxiety, because it's a state, it's harder to sort of take apart. People just accept, I'm in a state of anxiety, I'm having a symptom. When you see like, oh, okay, so I'm afraid, something more, I don't know how to say, not approachable, but it's more, a little more down to earth, a little more like, okay, so I'm afraid. It's easier to think about, you don't have to be a professional to know why you're afraid.
That's true.
You know what I mean? It's not a symptom. But usually people are in a state of, and that's what happens. And sometimes if they have acute anxiety, they're in a intense fear, very, very intense, debilitating fear.
How do you learn to let that go? For me, you know, I know when I get anxious, I like to describe it to people, like especially those who play video games, when you are going to encounter a big boss battle, and usually it will be extensive, and it's, you know, all this music starts happening and all these cues start popping up. So you start getting that fight or flight feeling. And, you know, it's like hearing that music and seeing those cues, but you never actually encounter the boss fight. So for me, like, that's how I tell people, like, that's what anxiety feels like. But how do you learn to let it go? I mean, because, you know, for some people, they're constantly hearing like this music and these cues, and they're always on 10. How do you learn, I guess, to relax?
That's a great question. And I would say, when you're revved up and with fear, you know, you're feeling a lot of fear, it's very difficult to let go of. When you're physiologically roused up, like whether it's anger or fear, it takes about 45 minutes to calm down, for your system to calm down. But so I think that the best thing to do, if you can do it, is get into a daily practice of meditation, deep breathing, taking breaks. If you start to feel something building, try to detach. If you feel there's a situation that is overwhelming and you're starting to feel hysterical, sort of disconnect for a moment, reconnect with yourself, and some kind of practice, because you want to sort of build it into your everyday. And then another thing that's kind of a nice thing to do is before you go to sleep, you make a list of fears. I would say fears and resentment. Since we're talking about anxiety and fear, I would say you make a list of fears. And just the act of writing them down, identifying them. I'm afraid that, you know, my boyfriend's mad at me. I'm afraid I'm going to screw up on this interview. Whatever it is, you just sort of write out all the different things that you might be afraid of. And before you go to bed, and you just sort of say to yourself, I'm going to let this go. I'm just going to let this go. Okay, I have fear. It's okay. It's okay that I have fear. Sometimes you have to let it go, and sometimes you just have to accept, okay, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because a lot of 12-step programs, the first step is powerlessness. You know, the first step is saying, I'm just powerless over this fear. I don't know. I'm afraid. It's okay. There's nothing I can do about it.
That is so funny you said that, because as a child, I used to say the Serenity Prayer, not knowing that it was for like 12-step programs.
Mm-hmm. And well, it's bigger than the 12 steps, but the 12 steps definitely is the greatest hit in the 12 steps. But that's a great prayer, because especially for this topic, because you're saying you want to be able to identify, am I in control, am I not in control? And if you're not in control, you want to be able to let it go. And if you're in control, you want to sort of do take an action that will help the situation. You want to calm down, figure out the best thing to do, and do it.
You said before that you need to identify the situations that kind of trigger your anxiety or any type of fear that you're feeling. But for a lot of people, they just start avoiding situations. Like, I have a friend who just, you know, oh, big crowds kind of scare me. And before you know it, he stopped going to parties. He stopped going to clubs. And man, he goes grocery shopping late at night to avoid crowds. And it's got a little extreme. I mean, what do you do when you start noticing that, you know, you're avoiding situations altogether?
You know, your friend sort of sounds like she's sort of disconnected from other people. Like her fear led her to disconnect and not be around other people and avoid other people, avoid situations. And I think, you know, other people are scary. You know, they do unpredictable things. And mostly I think you have to sort of recognize, okay, I'm in avoidance. The avoidance is just going to perpetuate. You know, if you avoid whatever your problems are, they're probably not going to go away. You know, if you avoid icky feelings, they're going to linger in some form. They're going to haunt you. I think, you know, while of course you seek help if you're really stuck in some awful feeling and there's absolutely no movement, but you want to, you know, actually, it's very interesting. I was remembering there's a tribe, and I don't remember the details, but every morning all the kids are sitting around the table and they tell the father they're all their nightmares. And the father, so let's say like one kid says, oh, you know, a bear was chasing me. So the father gives them a dream correction and says, the next time you have that dream, I want you to stop, turn around, and start chasing the bear. And this tribe has very low incidence of mental illness, anxiety, depression, psychosis. It's really very interesting. I think it's a great thing. If you know that you're avoiding something, you can resolve, well, this means this is something significant, and I need to be brave, because, of course, you cannot be brave if you're not afraid. You know, if you have, brave means you're afraid and you do it anyway. So you have to be brave and say, okay, I'm going to lick this.
That's true. I think of, you know, in college, I think everybody's going to take it. Everybody has took it, the speech class. And I have no idea how I got through mine because it was all a blur. It was a whole mess of anxiety of having to stand in front of people and give a speech that I had no idea what I was doing. But you're right. It's like you just have to buckle down and be brave and just stand in front of the group of people. Going back to like the speech class thing, I mean, in that case, you had planning. You had an idea of what you were going to speak about. You know, is planning important when it comes to kind of like standing up to your own fears?
You mean in that scenario that you gave of when you're giving a speech?
Well, just in life in general, like if you plan things out, like if I'm going to an interview, I have to know all of the stuff that I put on my resume exactly, like what things about the company, I guess research a little bit. That amount of planning, would that alleviate some of that anxiety?
It sort of depends, because people can plan excessively and it can kind of create more anxiety, you know, and they can become rigid and stick to a script. It, like, for example, if you're giving a speech, the thing that can help is to say, what do I want to say? What are the 1 to 3 things that I want the people listening to come away with and know? What do I want to teach them? And that kind of helps you to sort of orient whatever kind of planning you do, or whatever kind of, you want to plan in a smart way. You don't want to plan every single detail. Going on an interview, you want to orient yourself and say, I want to know if this is the right place for me. What questions am I going to ask so that I know what if this is a good place for me? Do I want to know if there's attrition, if they can't keep anybody there? I want to meet the person who's my supervisor. I mean, and in fact, when you ask a lot of pointed questions, they get that you are really, really seriously scoping them out, and it increases your chances that they will be interested in you. You want to ask, well, should I invest myself in this job? You know, is this the right job for me? You know, much more important to do that before you even begin to talk about salary. Because it's like if you talk about how much the job pays before, you're signing a blank check. You don't really know what you're agreeing to for this amount of money. So I digress a bit, but I would say, yeah, I think it is good to plan. And I think you want to ask yourself the right questions, depending on what your goal is in the situation.
Thank you so much, Carolyn, for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find you at?
My website is www.consultalroy.com. I have a newsletter. I do all kinds of therapy and coaching and therapy by phone and all kinds of things like that. So you can find me if you're interested, or you just want to get more information. I have articles and stuff on there too.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapain.com. That's masonverapaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.